Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And Brendan.
And this is Come Through, Queen.
If I put this hand up here, now real fast.
Hold my back!
I need a sisterhood!
We got your back, girl!
I got your back.
Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Daniel.
So since last week, we have so much news about programming.
I know, like so much programming.
I think the first thing we should get to is the announcement of something we could have only dreamed of, Winter House.
We didn't even see it coming, which was like also the best part.
I know. So let me read a little recap from People magazine. So new Bravo series Winter House in the works, featuring stars from Summer House and Southern Charm. Bravo is hitting the slopes. People can confirm that the network is preparing to head into production on a new series, Winter House, working title. A source close to production tells People the show will feature cast members from both Southern Charm and Summer House, living together in a winter lodge in Stowe, Vermont. While more cast members could be added, Summer House's Kyle Cook, Amanda Batula, Paige DeSorbo, Lindsay Hubbard, and Sierra Miller have all been confirmed, along with Southern Charm's Craig Conover and Austin Kroll. Winter House is set to begin filming in the coming weeks. Bravo did not immediately return People's request for comment. Brendan, what do you make of this?
Well, so this was interesting because I believe we were recording when this news started to pop on Des Moines.
Yeah.
And we almost started talking about it on the episode, but we were like, no, it's just Des Moines. They've been like so unreliable recently. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, it's in People magazine.
Which is the Bible, as we call it, and Wendy Williams as well.
Exactly. So I'm into it. I mean, I could do without the Charmers, but I kind of get why they're bringing them along, because that's like an extremely popular show. And yeah, I think they want to bring the Charmers in to like mix and mingle with the Summer House kids, because I think they see that Summer House is the future.
Yeah, I think like I hate to see it in terms of bringing the Charmers in, but I do think we can't just have Summer House in a winter location.
Exactly. 100%.
I do think though, like the clock is ticking, like spring has sprung, the snow's melting, like let's get a move on it, right?
Well, I think they must have started filming this week, because last week Craig and Austin were already up in Vermont, from what I heard on word on the street. They were seen in a snowy location on their Instagrams. Yeah. They were talking about going to a snowy location. I think there needed to be a little bit of housekeeping to do, because I think that Kyle and Amanda had that foster dog that they had to hand off to the adopted family, which they did this week. So I bet you they're there now.
Okay. Yeah, I hope so. Because like, we're in late February right now. Like, winter is only until March 21st.
I know, but Vermont, it stays winter up there a little longer.
Okay, fair enough. Interesting, no Hannah Burner.
Well, she's got a chat room to fill.
To attend to, yeah, which I think is the perfect segue to the Housewives All-Stars news that dropped.
Yes, so there's been rumblings in the world for a long time that they were going to do some sort of Housewives All-Stars, some sort of Housewives where they bring people from different cities all together. There was a report from a sketchy website this week that was going around a lot, which is fine. Sure. But there's also inklings from Housewives like fan pages that the deal is that it's going to be 8 women. And then they're going to be from Beverly Hills, New York, New Jersey, and Atlanta.
Yeah, which is interesting. Just 4 franchises, 2 women per franchise.
The rumored women are Lisa Rinna, Kyle Richards, Ramona, Sonia, Zia Melis, Teresa, Cynthia, and Kenya.
Okay.
To me, it's like, can we not throw in Giselle and Karen?
So that's the word on the street is Bravo does not want to interfere with franchises currently filming. And there's not many because it's really only Potomac. And I think Salt Lake City is starting filming right now.
Yeah. And then OC will probably start soonish.
Yeah. But like also I'm sure Bravo is happy to not include OC here.
Yeah. To disengage from that like, conversation.
Like if there was to be OC representation, it would have been Vicky and Tamara.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
100%. So if this is happening, it's really exciting.
And it's also rumored to be on Peacock.
Yes.
Yeah. What names are you happy to see? Who are you not happy to see?
I'm happy to see Sonia.
Okay.
And then, like, most of the names are people who I'd predict they would send. So I'm fine with them.
Sure.
I'm sad not to see Portia.
But like Hannah Burner, she has a chat room to attend to.
I know, but like if I were her, it's like I'm gonna stay in the chat room while they're all going to a tropical location and like having an iconic Housewives moment.
Yeah, but I would imagine like the chat room is like week to week, we're getting a check. I think they're making more money off a chat room than these women would make off of 1 week on a vacation.
Okay, sure. So I would have liked to see a little more than the usual suspects. Let's get a little more creative in this casting. Like, I don't need to see Kyle, but I get why she's there.
Yeah, for me, it's Kyle and Cynthia that I think are not needed on this trip.
They don't bring as much.
Like, they might have a role on their respective cities, but I don't think they're bringing what we need here. I do think like the New York and New Jersey representation makes sense, especially that like Ramona and Zia Melis are so close. Like we were obviously always going to have Teresa, Sonia Rita, Ramonia, like it all makes sense there. When it comes to Beverly Hills, Rinna is like the face of Beverly Hills these days.
She really is. And it'll be interesting to see her among the other women. You never know what she'll like pull out of her hat. And the other franchises aren't as afraid as Beverly Hills to like actually be interesting.
Yeah.
So Kenya is going to be, after we saw her performance on this week's episode, she'll be one to watch.
That's why I'm not sure. Like I know what to expect from her on this.
I mean, she could go the way she did in Charleston, or she could be completely different. We'll see.
Like, it would have been more fun to see, like, a Portia Marlowe.
Well, could you imagine Marlowe and Ramona interacting?
Like, it's funny that Marlowe is my number one choice from Atlanta to be on Housewives All-Stars.
Well, because she's the matriarch without ever having held a peach, of course.
Exactly. We also have, speaking of All-Stars, we have some Drag Race news that we need to get to. So All-Stars 6 was originally announced to be on Showtime. Oh no, I think it was All-Stars 5 even, was it?
All-Stars 5, yeah.
And then they pulled that and then they aired All-Stars 5 on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have like that big dump this week of Paramount Plus programming that includes RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 6. What do you make of this?
So Paramount Plus is what used to be CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
So the big draws for CBS All Access were like The Good Fights. Big Brother had a weird season on there that happened during the 2016 election. And then Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that'll be interesting. It sounds like they're getting a lot of stuff. Like Rugrats reboot is going there, I heard randomly.
The New York Real World for season reunion is going there as well.
So, I mean, like, there are some draws, but it is annoying. It's just, like, constantly annoying to have another new streaming platform.
Yeah, especially when we're, like, such Maxinistas these days.
Mm-hmm.
What now?
And now we have to be Peacockistas?
We have to be Peacockistas very soon. And then, like, what's the deal with All-Star 6? Like, what time will it drop? Will it drop, like, WandaVision at 3 a.m.?
And, like, the best part about Friday nights, especially in the pandemic, is watching Drag Race and, like, tweeting with people.
Or, like, texting the group chat.
Texting the group chat. So we're all going to have to coordinate and be like, we're hitting play right now.
I guess the only hope is that, like, Vax hits in time for All-Star 6.
That's true. So we can all watch together.
Yeah.
The other thing that is kind of crappy about this news is, like, what it means for those queens on All-Star 6. Because potentially there is a barrier now for people to watch it.
Sure.
And potentially that means less viewership. And that also means these queens who like spent so much money just to like even go on this show and like so much time and effort, they might not be getting the bang for their buck.
Yeah. I do think they stand a better shot than like a World of Wonder subscription requirement.
That's true. But I mean, we also have to pay that for UK.
I know. But I do think like Paramount, given that huge dump of shows that they released, like I think it does stand a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. Besides that, strangely, something was announced called, oh my God, what's the name of it? Queen of the Universe. So we thought this was going to be a Priyanka, the Vivian.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
People from Drag Race Thailand, Holland.
U.S. Like a showdown show off of all the international queens. But no, apparently this is a World of Wonder production that will pit drag stars from around the world against each other in a Eurovision style singing tournament that promises high heels, high octaves, and high competition that will blow your wig off.
I really wonder if this means, like, is it only going to be Drag Race affiliated queens, or is it going to be, like, are they going to open it up to, like, Conchita Wurst and Pablo Vittar, like, well, who are actually, like, huge stars?
Well, there is, like, when they describe Queen of the Universe, there is no RuPaul or drag race language associated with it besides just World of Wonder. So I do wonder, like, could it be distanced from that brand?
Is RuPaul going to compete?
I mean, she is a singer. Will she compete against her close friend Courtney Act?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very close.
I mean, we'll see. There's no like word on when any of this is premiering. And given the pace of Drag Race, it'll be a while because we got this past week no elimination.
I know. And we are airing a documentary this week.
Yeah. So we're going to go once again a smooth 3 weeks with no one going
home. Oh, my God.
What did you make of this past Drag Race week of Candy, Muse, Simone having a showdown?
Well, I was cheering when there was no elimination.
Yeah.
Because I like both of them, but like there seems to be a lot of people seem to be against Candy Muse. Which yeah. I'm like, what? Why?
Yeah.
She's like, she might be a little messy, but at least she's like got the talent.
Yeah.
She's there.
She definitely has the talent. She has the charisma. I mean, when Rue called her back, like I jumped out of my seat and I like did a twirl. I did a scream. I was very excited for that.
Did you really do a twirl?
I did. I like jumped up and like spun around.
I would like to see it. I would like to the security footage from your apartment.
Yeah.
Or your house.
But once again, like we go from a little black dress to yellow.
It's like it was all yellow. It would have been fun if the lip sync song was Yellow by Coldplay.
Not quite. I mean, I was like, just like for such an iconic moment of like a double Shantae of, to me, the two people who I think are the top two, mm-hmm. I would have liked a more iconic song than Fifth Harmony's Boss.
Oh, same.
Like, I've been championing for Tamia's Stranger in My House, Thunderpuss remix for years and years and years. And I feel like this could have been the moment, but...
Maybe write a letter to World of Wonder.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, World of Wonder, just like, get me on board to like, okay. to help guide you. But like, my other complaint is we're filming in a global pandemic. We're using a Fifth Harmony song. We're not doing work from home.
I know.
It's like, what? They always get it wrong.
I know.
Like,
I know.
They'll have like a musician as a judge and then not use their song.
It's so stupid. Always. Two Taxis.
Two Taxis, of course.
It's like the season of like the same
redundancy.
Redundancy, and it's happening in the UK too.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sister Sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have a doc this weekend, so I'm
excited for the doc.
I'm excited for the doc only because I'm gonna watch it over the weekend.
Oh, you're not gonna tune in Friday?
No, because like no one's going home, so like I don't have the urgency of like avoiding a spoiler.
Who the fuck am I going to text?
You could text during it. Like, what are you going to spoil? They filmed during COVID.
I don't know. Maybe Joey J says something funny.
Yeah, he might say something funny. The one last news item we wanted to get to before discussing our shows is the fact that Brandi Redmond like posted on Instagram that it seemed to like announce her exit in the middle of the season, but then it might not be the case. So we're going to turn
to
Page Six for this reporting. So, Brandi Redmond seems ready to cut ties with the Real Housewives of Dallas, but there is still a chance she may not leave the show. After Redmond shared an Instagram post that appeared to be a farewell to Bravo, a source told Page Six that the reality star hasn't officially decided to make her exit. The source said Brandi is still very much a part of the show. While she is contemplating leaving, nothing has been confirmed. The 42-year-old shared a post on her Instagram on Sunday that seemed to imply she wanted a more private life, writing, "I have loved sharing my life with you, but sometimes things come to an end. The best kind of ends are a happy ending, and I choose happiness." Her co-star, Stephanie, appeared supportive, writing, "I love you so much, and you deserve to be happy." Carrie said, "Brandi, I love you so much. You have my support in whatever you decide." And that's that. What do you think of this?
Here's the thing. I mean, like... move on, make way for someone who actually brings us something interesting. You've been on for how many seasons, and like you're bringing us the same thing you're bringing in season one.
Yeah.
And like it, I think Brandi exiting makes way for like a greater Stephanie Dr. Moon alliance.
Yeah.
They've been hanging out a lot, and I think that could be like a fun little narrative going into the next season.
Yeah. I mean, Stephanie is so tied to Brandi, and like Brandi does drag her down in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird this week that we had no new episode.
I know. And then I watched Margaret and Dolores talking about them.
You
which
did,
was kind of
you
like,
did watch it.
Yeah, because they didn't just do one episode. They did like iconic, and that's in scare quotes, moments from this season thus far.
Were there any big takeaways?
Dolores doesn't like Tiffany Moon, it doesn't seem.
Oh, wow. I mean, I enjoyed from the commercials promoting this, Dolores dragging Brandi, being like, she's trying to be funny and like pretend like she's having fun, but like I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to watch them. And it was like one of them where they're truly interacting, Dolores and Margaret. Yeah. So it's like, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm fine. Like we thought Brandy might be leaving after this past season, after everything that went down.
I know. Please go and take Carrie with you.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's talk about Atlanta Housewives. I mean, this is the episode we have been waiting for or were told to be waiting for.
Here's the thing. And I don't think it disappointed at all.
It did not disappoint at all.
I, at every corner of this episode, like my jaw was on the floor. Like, I mean, I have some thoughts about like some of the production choices, but like just in general, it was such a riveting, watchable episode.
And you know what's funny is I feel like for the past few episodes of Come Through Queen, we've been talking about how we don't need Kenya.
Right.
And now we need Kenya.
Right. But like also Kenya's getting some flack.
Oh,
is she? All over the place, yeah. People,
okay, tell me.
People are saying that Kenya meddled too much and that she should have let these women have a good time, and she like quote unquote broke girl code.
I know, but then we would have had like kind of like how on Beverly Hills, like all the fun happens when cameras are down and we know nothing.
I know, but like the other criticism I've seen in general is that like them airing footage after the women thought cameras were down, which is like kind of, that's the interesting conversation that I've been seeing online this week. Sure, people are like, sure. This episode is like so riveting, but it's because like producers said they were going away, but then there were all this other, all these other ways to get footage.
Yeah. I mean, they are acknowledging that the cameras in the ceiling are a concern because they're like turning them or covering
totally,
them.
Totally, for sure.
So like that is a thought in their mind.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're also like litty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wanted to like, right? Yeah, I just wanted to start talking about it with like, that's kind of the cultural, part of the cultural conversation.
Sure.
But geez Louise, oh my God. Candy Burris.
I love her in character.
Her reclaiming the narrative also. It's been years of her reclaiming the narrative from Phaedra.
But
fully came to fruition on this episode. We're fully seeing it.
Well, but also, like, in terms of that conversation, like, Portia in this episode saying, well, now I'm a lesbian.
Right. Oh, my God. Just, like, everything about this episode. The way it was set up with the outfits. Them, like, being in Candy having full control over these women was something.
Yeah.
Kenya getting freaky in that red outfit.
I know. I love that she was wearing a different color.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like this wasn't supposed to be focused on her.
Well, it like she wore red because red means devil, and she became the like devil at the end of this episode.
as a wise Teresa once said. The name on everybody's lips, Bolo. I've been like just screaming Bolo randomly like for the past week.
I mean, I mentioned this last week's episode, but at the end of last week's episode, the way they set up Bolo, just like to have him in the backyard like that in that like glass case like so fucking iconic and like perfect.
With that tacky Chanel look.
That Marlo called out for being fake, which was also iconic. I've Googled some Bolo since the episode aired, and you can see a lot of things online.
Oh my God. Wow. Also, I've only gone to the IG, which is like, I would say not even rated R, like PG-13.
Oh, go to the Google image search. You're already seeing like stuff that wouldn't usually come up in a Google image search.
Yeah.
He seems to be a good man. We should hire him for your, if you ever have a bachelor party. Do you think he does gay bachelor parties?
The question on my mind was like, where is Bolo in terms of like entertaining the masses? Like, are we only entertaining women?
Who knows? He'll probably get so many inquiries now, though.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah, proud of Bolo. Yeah.
It was interesting that Marlo, besides Kenya, was like the least interested in partaking in like the fun of the night.
Well, I think that Marlo likes to keep an air of mystery around her these days, not even these days, but like,
especially as a Munty.
Yes. And just in general, like, since like, there's always been questions around like who she's dated, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So I think she likes to keep that air of mystery.
But then also this all seems to bring Marlo and Kenya together.
Right. Yes. Well, this, and they also had like the little convo beforehand, making up, or was that after?
After. So like, so they wake up the next morning, they go fishing. Some of the women, Marlo catches the shark.
Yeah.
And her catching the shark is like a metaphor for her befriending Kenya.
Right. Right. You're right. Wow. That's beautiful. That shark was huge, by the way.
I know, like, I thought we were gonna like pull up a little like guppy fish, and it was like the biggest thing I've ever seen in
that
my life.
That shark is like what brings me nightmares. I started doing my typical Google. There's this one video that's fake that always scares me, and I like to search it and look at it every once in a while, like out of the corner of my eye, to see if it still scares me.
I mean, we know you're not like a beachy boy.
I know, but it's this one video. It's fake, like I said, as this woman on a water slide. And she's holding a GoPro, and she goes down. Yeah. And when she goes down, there's this huge ass shark in the water.
Okay,
that you can see.
No, but in the Bahamas at, oh my God, what's the place that Alex and I went to?
Atlantis.
They have like the famous slide where you like slide down, and like the slide goes through a clear tank that like has sharks swimming above you.
Scary.
Yeah. So maybe it wasn't so fake after all.
Well, the shark was like next to this woman about to attack
her. So I think that is fun and important that like we have the change in dynamic between Kenya and Marlo. Mm-hmm. And we got the mid-season trailer.
Yeah, which like, it's all over the place, you know? Not a Tanya in sight. I heard next week's episode is the last time we see Tanya.
I wouldn't be surprised if we never saw Tanya again.
I know. In the famous words of Trixie Mattel as Lisa Rinna.
I mean, I can't stop saying I wouldn't be surprised if we never saw Denise Richards again.
It's so fucking funny. And it's like, we've mentioned a lot on this podcast, but it's so much funnier when specifically Trixie and Kati are talking about it because neither of them watch Housewives. It's only...
No. Trixie is now like a scholar.
Not a scholar. She's like a newcomer.
She's a freshman.
She's a freshman. I've taken all their content, so I'm more of the expert on this than you are. But it's because of her boyfriend.
She watched Salt Lake City.
Yeah, but it's because of her boyfriend that she like knows this one clip.
Okay.
Yeah. I literally like listen to their podcast. I watch compilations of I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. You're the scholar and I'm the freshman.
You're the freshman. What was that song? For the life of me, I could not remember what made us think that we were blind. We were only freshmen. Do you know that song?
No.
Oh, it's a good one. It's from like the 90s.
I'm sad that we will never see Tanya again.
I know. Do you think she'll come to the reunion?
No.
The thing about Tanya is, like, after all this went down in real time, she was doing, like, a lot of Instagram lives and, like, all sorts of things with, like, she likes to do, like, she likes Clubhouse. She likes to be around, like, those, like, influencer-y type people who do, like, Instagram lives and Clubhouse things.
Didn't we discover that, like, Tanya is, like, an early subscriber of Clubhouse?
Yeah. She was, like, an early adopter. I want to say 2019.
Yeah.
Or something.
I love that for her. Who else? I mean, like, I feel like Drew is coming into her own.
I'm loving Drew.
I feel like if we had met Drew at this event, we would have a different feeling about her than, like, spending six episodes with her and her husband.
Agreed, but I'm afraid with what's going to go down with her and her husband's, given what Drew partook in during this trip, you know? But it seems like the mid-season trailer had a lot of Drew in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of her, like, the girls are fighting.
And surprisingly, very little of Cynthia's wedding.
I know. There was, like, one quick clip, and it was, like, just, like, Eva and, like, a couple other people, like, posing for a photo. But we've already seen all the photos.
I know. But, like, isn't that so embarrassing that, like, Cynthia built this all up and, like, it's nothing now?
I know. The storyline's lost.
Yeah, she lost the storyline. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited for the TB continued.
What do you think? How do you think Kenya knows the exact timeline of everything that went down?
Well, she's played, like, clearly she's played a few games of Clue with, like, Colonel Mustard with the candlestick in the library. Because, like, she's got the whole layout mapped out. And people were pointing out, like, oh, that was Tanya's room, but then you said Tanya moved to another room.
Right. Well, there were, like, these, so they were doing a lot of editing in this episode, and they were, like, showing layouts of the house with, like, whose room it was, and the room, the, like, spare room that Kenya heard the noises from was originally Tanya's room, but then, remember, they played the little game at the beginning of the trip, and Tanya won a new room somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, also, I think, you know, Kenya's talking about this to everybody, and then, like, once you cross out everyone she's talking about it with, all that's left is Tanya and Portia.
Where was Tanya this episode? Did we get eyes on her, really?
She must have been hiding.
I think she did. She did come outside and was near the pool while Kenya was doing her questioning, I guess. Also, the Basic Instinct bit they were doing, that was really funny.
I mean, it was funny, but also, like, so sloppy in terms of some of the women were just wearing their regular confessional looks.
I mean, if they only did, it would have made sense to only do Kenya, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was, like, fully playing the part. She was smoking the cigarette. She did the little bit where Sharon Stone initially, like, opened her legs to Married Men.
Like, normally I trust the editors and, like, their vision, but, like, it should have only been Kenya.
Yeah, it's like what did Coco Chanel say? Take one confessional off.
Take one confessional off, yeah. Like, to go from, like, regular confessionals back into the, like, sexy confessionals wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I enjoyed this. I think it was a lot of fun. It was supersized.
Do you think top five Housewives episode of all time? Because I think it's a contender. Okay. I think even, like, top 10 maybe. I don't know.
I would be comfortable with top 10.
Especially for this episode to happen during COVID when we're getting nothing from these franchises.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is I feel like so much of it is left over for this dinner that we're about to have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, in contrast, you and I's favorite episode of all time, I think, in a great agreement, is the Atlantic City, New York episode.
Oh, yes.
As, like, a singular standalone episode.
Everything happens in that episode, nothing spills over, really.
Yeah. And it's not a supersize. It's just, like, one perfect good episode.
Yeah, go watch that if you haven't.
Yeah. Whereas this, like, I need to see what's next.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, love it. I mean, I'm, like, I feel better about Atlanta right now than I did for most of this.
Well, I mean, like, I'm saying this is, like, such a great episode while, like, ignoring the COVID of it all, because it's literally, like, people exchanging fluids during COVID.
I know, but
COVID.
But at least we're, like, all in this one house together.
True.
Yeah.
Except Fallon just went missing, didn't she?
So here's the thing. Like, no one said a word about Fallon not being mm-hmm. there.
I heard she went to Miami or something.
But she was there with, like, her husband. Like, she's not going to come, like, leave her husband and, like, see Bolo.
I know. Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, let's... So there's no Dallas this week, as we already discussed, which was so strange. But we have Jersey.
And it's actually good that we have no Dallas, because, like, the amount of shows we have right now...
Yeah.
Next week...
We're, like, a very full
plate. Yeah, next week we'll have less shows because Salt Lake City's ending. Yeah. So, good.
Okay, so New Jersey.
It...
What about it?
So, I'm bummed that Jackie didn't end up going on the trip. But we knew it.
Yeah, but also I'm like, I'm fine with it too.
Yeah, she's having her own little episode, like cutting hair. I want to go to Jackie's salon, even though she like doesn't really, she's not really great at it. No offense.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing, like, before we get into this episode, it's confusing to wrap my head around because like the narrative that we're being fed is Jackie and Teresa do make up, right?
Eventually, or like can tolerate each other later.
Oh, yeah, can film each other, can be in the same room. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, we have social media with like, it feels like we're at war again.
Well, yeah, but that's what happens.
I know. I just like, sometimes I feel like I need Bravo to like be like telling the ladies like, we either like, we can participate in social media right now, given the context, or we cannot.
Well, no, because like, this is all... This will all be like leading up to the reunion. Then we're reading tweets at the reunion. We're bringing Gia out. Gia's punching Jackie. Just kidding.
Oh my God. But like, that's also what's confusing is like Gia now seems to be like more offended by what transpired. Mm-hmm. Whereas the episode, she's like counseling Teresa to be like, what did you do to cause this?
Well, I think there's a few things on that. I think, like, her mom stewing with it more and more and more maybe made Gia more upset. There's also, like, the reality that Gia hadn't seen the clips until now. So, like...
Yeah.
And then there's also the thing of, like, I want to publicly defend myself / defend my mom.
Sure. Yeah. It's just like it's a lot to try to digest as a viewer in terms of like watching the show, seeing what they're saying online, but then thinking about like what's to come in the show.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a freshman again.
I'm just a freshman. I'm a frosh.
Teresa storming out of Marge's house and then driving home and then aggressively making a cup of coffee. I was like,
not just a cup of coffee, a Keurig pod.
And then like, did you see how much coffee made she put in that thing?
I mean, I'm not one to use a coffee mate.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will in a pinch, but I mean, she definitely like made it like a latte almost.
Yeah, almost. Though I've seen a lot of TikToks recently, and I'm like astounded by people's coffee and how they make it and how much like dairy they use in it. I'm like, oh.
I'm usually like not as offended by like dairy to coffee percentage. What I am offended is when people turn their coffee into a candy bar, and it's like, I'll have 10 sugars, please.
Oh, yeah. I don't like a sugar in my coffee. I just like a little splash of milk.
Yeah. We're on the same page here, for sure. But then, like, she calls Zia to be like, your friend.
I love that she refuses to say her name, and it's only your friend.
Yeah. I mean, okay, here's the thing, like, I feel like people discount Zia, but like Zia is so integral to this franchise.
She is, which is why she's been around a long time. I think people discount her because people say she like, quote unquote, never has a storyline, which is like, to me, that criticism of these shows, I'm always lost. I'm like, what do you want her to be like building a farm out in like upstate New York. Like, I don't get what you want from her. She's like in a friendship with this group of women. That is the storyline. That is the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care about like the individual storylines unless I do care about them. Mm-hmm. Like, it, to me, it's not a requirement that you come to the table with one.
Right. Like, just exist with these friends, play your part. And Zia Melis plays her part.
Yeah. Like, she is related to the psycho of the guy.
I know. And she's best friends with the person who the psycho hates the most. That is the role. It's almost, it's like the titular role.
it might as well be Melissa New Jersey Gorga. Okay. Now I want to talk about Jennifer.
Okay.
And the mom
Oh, this was an interesting scene.
Yeah. Bringing her daughter, and like not the daughter that we've laid eyes on a lot.
Right. It's the other one.
Like the one like the older one is the one that we spent a lot of time with last season. This one is like trying out heels. Well, coming to grandma's house.
My guess is that Jennifer made her put on those heels. And the moment that the daughter had an excuse to take those heels off, she did at the front door of grandma's.
Yeah. I'm trying to like make sense of what is going on between the grandparents. Like, are we going to resolve this season?
It feels like.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but it feels like, I don't know. There's a lot going on in this family. I mean, we've got like, we have the one son who's in Turkey who married the woman. We've got the gay son who like the mom doesn't really accept, or does she? Does she? And then we've got this bizarre parental feud where the new grandson is named after the grandfather, and the grandma refuses to call him by his name.
To me, it feels like, you know, like almost like the grandmother or Jennifer's mom is like coming to terms with the fact that like what she has instilled in her children, like she doesn't even believe.
What do you mean by that?
In terms of like, like how family is like so important, like not family's important, but like, it's like family or die. It's like, oh no, like if I'm miserable, like I don't need to be with this man.
Right. Like she probably like instilled like respect your parents no matter what, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And now she's frustrated because she feels disrespected by her ex-husband, but.
Well, no, not ex-husband. Husband.
Husband, rather.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And the kids aren't really seeing it because of what she instilled. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Just like. Well, because like so much, I guess, of their culture is like arranged marriages. So it's like you can't even question like what you have been put into.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I do think this is like riveting family dynamics that I would have never expected from Jersey Housewives.
And like you wouldn't have expected it when we met Jennifer her first season.
Yeah.
When she created the song, If You Taste Tequila.
If you like, every time she takes a tequila shot, I'm singing along in my head.
The fact
when I taste tequila.
The fact that you and Alex legitimately believed that she wrote that song and that was like her housewife song when it is actually like a famous country song.
But so you knew it was a famous country
song?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're from Georgia.
I'm from Georgia. I was raised underneath the shade of a Georgia pine.
Wow. Okay. And also like I'm having so much fun with Dolores and family.
Same, bopping around. She's got so many people that we can visit.
I do have to say, like, I hate Jersey for COVID protocol. I love Dolores sitting outside with her mom.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was nice. Her mom could have kept the mask on, but she didn't have to, as Dolores.
Yeah, but they were sitting like far apart. They weren't like on each other's lap.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Her mom, I my heart broke for her mom. Just like she's so used to constantly having people around and like all the grandchildren around, and now she can't do that. She's so isolated in her house.
Yeah.
That is like the biggest sadness of like this past year, is like older people who are used to having people around who now have to be alone. Sorry.
Especially because, like, the older people, like, are the ones who most need to be careful.
Exactly.
And then, like, talking to the mom reminded me of why what is going on with, like, Dolores' relationships makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I forgot that, like, the mom, her mom and dad are still married but live in separate houses.
It's all these parents have, like, weird relationships in Jersey like that. Aren't Jackie's parents similar?
There's something... No, I think they're the ones who, like, were under house arrest.
Wait, for a time, but her dad lives in that weird big house and her mom lives somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they've gone through a lot as well.
Jesus Christ, they've all gone through a lot. Speaking of Dolores, we can talk a little bit about Frank and David going shooting together, which, like,
please.
The fact that, like, we're walking in there and they're acting, it's like it's a bowling alley. You have lane 12. Like, what?
Okay, also, like, couldn't we go to an outdoor shooting gallery?
I guess. Do those exist in Jersey?
I think so, maybe. But, like, also, when they walked into the indoor shooting gallery, like, didn't in your mind think, like, no one's going to be wearing a mask.
Right. It just reminds me of, like, Grand Theft Auto. Why are we shooting on TV these days? I mean, I get why we're doing it, because, like, they're all Trump supporters, Second Amendment shit, but please. But I did like Frank taking David to task.
But what about Frank, like, not able to wear his mask properly at all?
Well, because he's, like, he's a big bumbling idiot, but he at least has his loyalty to Delore.
I mean, that's, like, I guess one thing we can celebrate.
Yeah, one thing.
Yeah. I don't know, like, he's taking him to task, but, like, I feel like everyone's fine in there, like, where they are. You know what I mean?
Maybe, like David's learning how to love Dolores.
No, he does love her, but, like,
how to be a good boyfriend, rather.
He won't give her this. She won't give him that. Frankie won't give Dolores this. Like, I feel like everyone is just, like playing their part, and, like, and like, Dolores is fine with it, because, like, look at her parents, who are married and live in separate houses. Like, it doesn't really matter.
True. If I were, like, a TV writer in the 90s or early 2000s, I'd pitch this as a TV sitcom. Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, Three's Company, but make it, like, Italian and different.
But, like, would the vet daughter ever show up?
No, of course not. She's swimming with a dolphin somewhere.
She's a marine biologist and a veterinarian.
She is both, famously.
Did we check it in with anyone else before heading to Lake George, or no?
Not really. We had, like, them packing.
Okay.
I do want to say something about Teresa packing, and she has all these, like photos around her room, like promotional of photos of herself around her bedroom. Like, she's got the cover of, like, Skinny Italian sitting there in cardboard form.
Yeah. I do love the decision to bring Lexi along.
So, was Lexi supposed to be a friend of?
I feel like...
Because first episode at the party, she was there. She was kind of, like, in the conversation. She is bringing major Jennifer Gilbert energy, I will say.
Here's the thing. I don't think someone who is hired as an assistant could ever elevate to it. A technical friend of.
We haven't tried it yet, though, you know, so you never know.
But I think in practice she is a friend of.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems the way that it's being shot so far that she's
like,
in the mix.
She's rising to the occasion, I would say.
I think she's like buttering up Teresa at points and like saying she deserves a man with a yacht, which is nice.
I think her accent is really funny.
Yeah. And she looks like, I feel like she looks like Jen Gilbert.
Mm, okay.
In a way.
I could see that. I love going to Lake George, actually.
I've never been.
I've never been either, but just I love like the concept of.
I love like a fancy lake destination.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, lake culture is big in Georgia, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been in Real Houses of Atlanta. We've been to Lake Lanier several times. Okay. I wouldn't necessarily call Lake Lanier as like fancy as like Lake George or like Lake Tahoe, which is like, didn't we go to Lake Tahoe in OC this year?
Maybe. But I don't think Lake George is like fancy. I'm just like glad we're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Teresa.
What about her?
The word on Teresa's lips, the name on Teresa's lips is Jackie.
It's at every turn we're talking about Jackie.
It's like, can you pass the salt, Jackie?
I'm liking, and it's surprising, I'm liking Dolores's, where she's standing with Jackie and her opinion on Jackie.
Yeah.
And it seems like they might have only even grown closer recently, her and Jackie, Dolores and Jackie.
Yeah.
I also love the way Dolores says Jackie.
Okay. Jackie.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. No, because I always see like Dolores like posting about Jackie or like in the comments on Jackie's photos or in the likes. And she was on Danny Pellegrino's podcast the other week, and like she said basically the same opinion she has now, that like she knows that Jackie was making an analogy and it might not have landed, but she also like in Lake George, she's talking about how she felt bad that Jackie wasn't there and all that stuff. So I'm liking that look on Dolores because we know that Dolores is the most beautiful woman in the world.
I also loved like, I love Margaret as a narrator in this episode.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like she said a few things that could like bite her at the reunion in terms of talking about Teresa.
What do you have an example?
Well, just like kind of like teetering on calling Teresa stupid.
Oh, well, I mean, like, yeah. But like that will probably go over Teresa's head is the thing.
Yeah.
I liked Jennifer and Dolores both when they walked into the house. Like, they didn't care where they landed as far as rooms.
I know. The energy felt so different than a New York trip where everyone was just kind of like, I'll go wherever.
Well, Zia needed her room.
But, like, desserts.
Okay. That'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting thing if we ever do get that Real Housewives, like, All-Stars thing. And seeing Zia go head-to-head with Ramona on that.
But they're allies, so like how will that shake out?
I don't know if they're as close as allies as we want to think they are. You know?
Okay.
I think that when Ramona called Zia at the Jersey reunion that one time, it was solely about lip sync battle.
Oh. Wow. Okay. I think I just like besides that, I'm excited to hang out at Lake George for a little while.
I know. It was surprising that Dolores was the one who was like, I need to get like a little warm before we go out. And she was the one who like started drinking first because she famously doesn't really drink. And then at the at dinner, she ordered a Diet Coke. So she had like a tequila shot. And then, yeah, I always pay attention to the orders.
Okay, right. Yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah. And then like the fans ordering them all a shot.
I love that.
Like, they were, like, the way that they were looking at the camera, those were fans.
Yeah, and the waitress was like, these men ordered you these shots. And it was, like, a table of, like, one man and, like, all these women.
Yeah. It was as if Danielle's job was, like, these men.
So stupid. Should we move on to Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City. Wow. First and foremost, this was episode 3. By episode 3 of the reunion, I'm like, done?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not done.
There's so much more to be said and done.
Especially because like I feel like this episode, more than any other episode of the reunion, we covered so much ground.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I feel like they also pulled off the Meredith and Mary's husbands like phoning in via Skype behind them.
They did it really well. The only like confusing part is like when Meredith would be talking to Seth, she would fully turn around.
Yeah, I was
wondering what his view was of her.
I mean, Mary was doing the same thing, like yelling at whatever his name is, Robert Sr. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yeah, we'll just call him the pastor.
Yeah. Grandpa. So I gotta say, I feel like, especially this episode, everyone's performances leveled out in terms of inviting them back for a season two.
Totally. I think everyone's back. I think there's news or rumors that everyone has been asked back.
There's rumors that everyone's asked back, but I do think, like, okay, I think Meredith and Whitney were kind of like, they were probably coming back and they were even enough to like, to be invited back.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Heather was obviously coming back,
mm-hmm.
but as I said, she fumbled the ball. And then
I think she fumbled the ball, not in terms of like coming back. I think she's fumbled the ball as in terms of likability.
The reunion. Yeah. Likeability. But then I think Jen, Lisa, and Mary gave performances in this reunion that I did not expect of them.
They saved themselves.
And they saved themselves.
Yes.
Especially Mary.
Especially Mary. And I would actually also argue, especially Jen. I feel like...
Oh, yeah.
She was bringing, like, toxicity at the end of the regular season. And she, like, tapered it down a lot in this reunion.
Care of Coach Shaw, who coached her.
Right. Exactly.
And, like they had a conversation as to, like, what is the goal of the reunion? And I'm sure most of these women did not have, like, that thought process going into this.
Mm-hmm. And even the way that Jen Shaw's demeanor changes when Coach Shaw is in the room, it's like, wow. Maybe let's have more events with him, you know?
Yeah. I think her making up with Mary is, like, the smartest thing she could have done.
Oh, of course, yeah. 100. Yeah.
I think, so the part that like where I say Heather fumbled the ball the most was when Lisa and Meredith are talking about Meredith's marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And like, these are women who have been friends for 10 years
mm-hmm.
and Lisa getting upset over like what Meredith and Seth have gone through. And having that conversation with Andy and Heather jumping in and saying like, why aren't you upset about my divorce? It's like,
yeah,
I'm not friends with you, you dummy. Like
she was going way too hard. There was also wasn't there another point with Jen, and Jen was talking about being a woman of color and like the criticisms that she gets because of that. Mm. And Heather said something like that was so sideways that I was like, oh, this is bad.
Well, it's like, you are being aggressive. Like,
yeah, it was that. It was that. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Heather, like...
I mean, if we're going to jump to that also, like, I feel like that is such a moment of this reunion. Whitney calling her husband and being like, the racist accusations came up. Was...
crazy.
So stupid.
So, you're on camera.
Yeah, like, you've seen all these other reunions where we're, like, filming every, like, we're showing everything. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's off the table.
Yeah, and Whitney, like, of all people, was definitely a fan beforehand. You can tell.
Yeah. But, like, us coming back from that, like, conversation and being like, all right, what a great season. Here's our meatballs. Felt... like, where's our part four?
I know. It might have deserved a part four. But that would have been unprecedented, because the only part four we've gotten was that one Atlanta part four that, like, truly deserved it. I mean, like, for a first season to get a part four.
I know.
We can't be going crazy here.
Yeah. The conversation around divorce was interesting in terms of, like, when Whitney and her husband were talking about like being kind of excommunicated
mm-hmm.
and Heather talking about it. And then Lisa's like, oh, everyone's divorced.
I know. I just like Lisa Barlow. I need more about her Mormonism in the next season, because like I need her to like kind of explain it to me.
Well, especially you and I were like diving into a Reddit thread that was posted before this aired, where everyone was saying like Lisa Barlow owns the tequila company, but she doesn't drink. But then in this season, she says she does drink. So I feel like there's just like so much to unpack. Lisa Barlow and her connection to Mormonism that we haven't like really fully understood.
Because she is a devout Mormon. I mean, like she holds the church high in reverence. So it's just like
she's got the ceiling, as we discussed.
Yeah, she's got the ceiling. It's just so interesting. I also want to like do my own deep dives. I know that I heard that Heather did a couple like long episodes of podcasts where she talks about her own situation. So I want to go like read or listen to those rather.
Wow. I know we don't do housewives interviews on this podcast, which I would like to keep it that way. But if you could talk to any of the six Salt Lake City women, who would you want to talk to the most? On a podcast specifically, not like podcast. In a private conversation.
I think it would probably be at this point Lisa, because I think she would be the most like mediagenic and like able to like keep the convo. And it would be, I have questions about like a lot of different things. I want to know like about all her history. I want to know about her histories with like Meredith. I want to know about like what she actually thinks about Heather Gay. Yeah.
Would you bring up the Ted Cruz?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's off the table.
Nothing's off the table. When I'm the interviewer, I'm fucking Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
I hope you're
now
well.
Now where's Barbara Walters?
I hope you're well, Barbara. I think about you a lot.
Okay. Should we get to somewhere
You need
else?
To answer the question though first.
Oh, of the six.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, of the six, who would I want? I actually would want Jen, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like she would be very open.
Yeah, I think that too.
Yeah, like I don't think she would hold anything back.
But do you think she would be honest?
Honest, or like at least she would be giving like what she wants to present, you know?
Yeah. I feel like what she wants to present changes kind of with the tide sometimes.
Sure. But I don't think she would like shut down like other women might.
Yeah. I think Jen, you know? Jen Shaw's like very, to me, she kind of has like her finger on the pulse. And so is like very, would be very talkative and like, but her opinion might sway a little bit as the tides go, you know?
Yeah. I don't care for, I feel like the public perception of her was just so negative this season. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't like that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she gets her redemption. I mean, like, think about season one, Camille Grammer. Think about season two, Camille Grammer. Everyone was calling her Queen Saint Camille. And then years down the line, we find out that she loves Brett Kavanaugh.
Not quite a saint.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to Summer House.
Let's go. Oh, my God.
Okay, so last week you were not feeling it so much. What's your take this week?
This episode was better.
Yes.
And I feel like I am liking that the sun is shining on Hannah and people are seeing how she really is. You know?
Wow.
She did not come across great this episode.
No.
And I think this is, I think that's just how she is.
So I hope we get to the bottom by the reunion in terms of like, you have this boyfriend, when were you dating him? Because I feel like that's important.
Write in, they ask for questions, write in.
Yeah, especially like in terms of like, are we going to just like pretend this whole Luke thing is like your soul, like this is where all your emotions and feelings currently are.
Right, exactly. Dan from the Graveyard asks.
Yeah, Dan from the Graveyard asks, Hannah, when did you start dating your boyfriend?
No, I think you should definitely tune in. Just like, what do you think her apartment smells like if she can't bring out a trash?
I mean, I'm sorry. If that is your one task.
That's the easiest task.
It's the easiest task.
The easiest task. You don't have to scrub a bubble. You don't have to like do a dish. You don't have to like clean a refrigerator, clean a stove. None of that
shit. What is your least favorite like house homekeeping task?
I think it's like dusting. You know?
I hate that. Yeah.
Like,
I hate that.
I actually enjoy doing a dish. Like, I like actually, like, making a meal, doing a dish afterwards, because sure. I can, like, listen to, like, a podcast or, like,
okay.
a show. Like, I think it's, like, dusting.
Oh, in your new home, do you have a dishwasher?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great, yeah.
Yeah.
For me... So, like, I used to be a very anti-vacuuming dusting, but we have, like, an amazing vacuum cleaner that mm-hmm. we got a few years ago that's, like, changed my life. To me, the toughest chore is, like, the shower, like, scrubbing the shit off the walls.
Getting the scrubbing bubbles going.
Yeah. And, like, because, like, it involves, like... bleach, and then I'm like getting dizzy and shit.
I love bleach. I love the smell of bleach.
When
I worked, at Cold Stone for like several years in high school and college. I loved cleaning because I loved like getting like some bleach going and like doing counters and like using the magic eraser.
Oh my God. Like one time I did it and I was like, I need to lay down. And Alex was like, you're not supposed to like sit there and scrub it in like the whole time. You're supposed to spray it and then run out and leave.
Well, it depends on what you're using.
Yeah.
I think. That reminds me of like on a recent season, on the last season of Below Deck, someone did combine two cleaning things that like made mustard gas and they had to like have like,
okay.
like the engineer come down and like assess the situation because they could have killed themselves.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
I have to say I enjoyed Danielle and Sierra's conversation about being like a Black woman, a Latina woman, in the workplace, modeling, nurse, tech.
Yeah.
I haven't appreciated much of Danielle so far this season, but I thought that like, I've never thought about her in that context so much. And like, I enjoyed that conversation.
I agree. And I agree wholeheartedly. I'm so happy Hannah didn't like butt in while they were talking also.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, like last season, the name on everyone's lips was Paige.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this season, the name on everyone's lips is Amanda Petula.
Yeah, I think she's like the princess of the house.
Talking about Loverboy and her saying like, we're selling merch. I sold $250,000 worth of merch. And it was just me. Like, the boys didn't have anything to do with it. I was like, you are the mother I never had. The sister everybody wants. The friend everybody needs.
And you bought some of that merch.
You better believe it, baby. Hopefully the Come Through Queen merch can have just like a percentage of the success that the Loverboy has had.
If we don't make $250,000 on that merch, I'm quitting.
No. We have something in the works that you and I have been tossing back and forth. And we will talk about more soon.
Yeah, we're going to get ready. Get those wallets out or whatever.
I know we've talked about it in the past, but like we actually have some designs that we've been looking at.
And it's not going to be something that if you're wearing like a hoodie over it that it says Meth Queen while you're walking through an airport, because that actually did happen to my sister when she was wearing one of our sweatshirts.
Oh my God. I would have faint. I feel like we didn't get much of like the Lindsay Stravi strife this week. It more seemed like they were just loving each other and having sex.
And that's okay, I think.
But like that illustrated to me, like they could have a happy relationship if she wasn't sabotaging it.
I know. She is the inner saboteur that RuPaul often talks about. It's an outer saboteur in her case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have the preview for next week for her birthday.
Slash anniversary, right?
Slash anniversary, where he seemingly leaves that episode.
Wow. Good man.
Wow.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I stand with Lindsay always. I was the original hubcap of our group.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I know. I definitely was. I remember we had that one dinner like 2 years ago, one and a half years ago, pre-COVID definitely. And I was singing the praises of Lindsay Hubbard while all of y'all were like,
Okay. Carl is like, just like having his redemption season this year.
I mean, I had forgotten the news that he got at the end of the episode.
I know. I completely forgot, especially because he kind of talked about his brother earlier this season. Mm-hmm. And like, I teared up.
I did too. Watching
him like learn the news.
I did too. So today he posted a Instagram post and it was like, kind of like, thank you for letting me share my life with you, like the highs and the lows, et cetera, et cetera. And I liked it. And I was kind of like, oh, he's talking about like his like sobriety journey, whatever he's going through. I hadn't realized that this news was going to be like a part of this episode.
His brother dying. Yeah.
His brother dying of an overdose.
Yeah.
And like, is he going to stay in that? I don't know, like with COVID and everything, not being able to like be with family when something like that happens. I'm not sure if he ends up flying home or like whatever, but ugh.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. What do you make of the big showdown at the end of the episode?
I do think, I will say that Kyle does have a hot head. So like when he gets turned on, when he gets activated, it's like a lot goes out the window. But like Hannah to me was just being so unreasonable. And like we talked about, like the fact that, and as Amanda pointed out, like the quote unquote meeting started as like a general, like everyone needs to be doing their part.
Yeah. So here's my take. Like I am the Kyle of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
So like I see myself in that situation. Hub House was the one who activated it though.
What did she say?
She chimed in as like one of the clean people to like start yelling. Like Kyle was not talking in that decibel, I would say, until Hub House got involved.
Sure.
So then like Hub House got involved and activated, and then it was Hannah versus Kyle. And like, to me, Hannah would have been fine dragging Kyle up and down all day long, but like she always goes for their relationship.
Yeah. The relationship had nothing to do with anything really.
And it's like, you are acting like you're so buddy-buddy with Batula these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're being mean to her right now.
Yeah, and, like, going after his age. I mean, like, I know I go after your age all the time, but that's a joke.
Wow.
And also, we all eventually turn that age anyways. Yeah, unless you'll be we die.
You'll be here soon enough, bunch. But, yeah, I just think, like, Hannah has been such a good friend. Batula has been such a good friend to Hannah that like she should not be playing the game this way. And even Paige was like, Hannah, you're not doing this.
I know. Like I think Hannah, her head has gotten so big. She thinks she's the shit. Like she thinks she's like God's favorite summer house child.
And this is pre chat room.
Exactly.
So I wonder like what, like if she comes back next season, like what's she going to be like?
Well, she wasn't invited to the winter house. Thank God.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for Summer House.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap this up with the Freak of the Week and the One True Queen. Before we get to that, though, we did want to mention on our Patreon, we are starting a series that we'll do month to month where mm-hmm. we are ranking the housewives from each city. And it's not like who we're friends with, who we like the most. No.
Who we're this friends like, with?
No, but like who we're, in our head, like when people
answer. Yeah.
Yeah, and no, it is who is the quintessential housewife of all the cities, but then we're starting small within each city.
Yeah.
So we start with like the place that makes sense to start, which is Orange County, which is actually the biggest challenge because they have the most housewives of all the cities.
Mm-hmm. A lot of losers in that group.
A lot of losers from top to bottom. But mm-hmm. we do our best to evaluate them with the eye of like who has made the impact.
Right.
So go to comethroughqueen.com for links to the Patreon and check that out. In addition to our pre-show.
Wait, can I do one more plug before we get to the Freak of the Week and the One True Queen? This week I was on our Irish Correspondence podcast. Connor being real, you remember him well. Yeah. Housewives and Me, AKA Ham, talking all things housewives. So check it out. Dan was on 2 weeks ago, so check out his episode as well. And in between us is Irish pop sensation Samantha Mumba.
I know. It is a come to queen ham sandwich.
It truly is.
And like her two like big pop songs were my favorites. Don't wanna love you if you don't love me. Don't want to need you if you don't need me. Yeah, so go over to Ham, like, comment, subscribe, that. But it's time for the Freak of the Week and the One True Queen.
Cool.
The Freak of the Week is Bravo or NBC Universal or whoever for deciding that we can't pause Potomac filming for 1 week to pull them off the bench. Throw them over to Housewives All-Stars because, like, Potomac has been the number one city for in my heart the past mm-hmm. 2 years.
Same. Top tier. The fact that, like, I mean, and maybe it might come to fruition. Like, we don't know because nothing's finalized. But, like, we need to see Giselle versus Ramona again. Hello. We saw it at BravoCon. I was in the room where it happens, a.k.a. Hamilton. But we need to see it again.
I mean, that is the cross-city showdown I want to see the most out of any city.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a cute little moment if Giselle and Karen went on together and they could bond over their hatred of Ramona.
So, like, in my heart of hearts, I would want Giselle and Robin because, like, obviously I'm a Robinista. But
in your brain Giselle, of brains, you know that it has to be Giselle and Karen.
Because that would be... It'd be great for the show. It'd be great for Potomac. It'd be great for all of us as, like, humans on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Little Lane Bryant's.
Little Lane Bryant's. Damn Yankees.
Shut up. The fact that you didn't even change it to Dame. You just went with Dan.
No, like LaDame Yankees.
So stupid.
Okay, and our One True Queen is... The queen of the summer house, the mother hen herself.
Mother hen.
Ms. Amanda Petula. The journey she's taken us on, her fostering of little Milton, a little dog that she and Kyle have been taking care of. And then I guess like Milton has now been adopted. Mm-hmm. And now she can run off to Vermont for winter house.
Yeah, she posted on Instagram. It's worth reading. It made me tear up a little bit because... She clearly loves dogs, and I think she eventually wants dogs. She's just not in a place yet. Her and Kyle aren't in a place yet. So that's okay. I think fostering's nice. I fostered once. The dog bit me.
Oh, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah. It was the 1 week that Google Plus was relevant. So like there's a photo of me and the dog on Google Plus if it's still out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Amanda, our queen, wow. 2020, the name on everyone's lips.
It's Amanda Petula.
It's Amanda Petula. Petuloops, tonight is our night. I think that's it for this week. Wow. obviously go to comethroughqueen.com for all your Come Through Queen needs. The Patreon bonus episode, pre-show. I'm in Veneno. Brendan's in It's a Sin. It's the sweetest sin.
I'll be in Brooklyn next time we record. Oh my God.
Wow. Oh my God, you guys. And then obviously, as we mentioned, go listen to Ham, Housewives, and Me. And like, comment, subscribe, heart, share, retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week while Brendan's in Brooklyn. Bye. Bye.
I wanna see ya come through, Queen.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.